If you'll turn to Romans 12, we'll read our text verse for verses tonight. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And if you're able, please stand out of respect of God's word. We'll read these two short verses, and then you can sit back down after I pray. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a famous quote you'll recognize most likely. The world has yet to see what Almighty God can do and will do with, for, through, in, and by a man wholly and fully yielded to him and to his service. It's a little confusing right there. It's a mouthful. Let me read that again. The world has yet to see what Almighty God can and will do with, for, through, in, and by a man wholly and fully yielded to him and to his service. That saying was by Henry Varley. Most of you probably won't recognize him, but you may recognize one of his students who took that to heart and actually said, I aim to be that man. That man was D.L. Moody. We all have heard of D.L. Moody. He heard this quote by his mentor, and he decided to try to be that man. And he did much for God. I believe that these five missionaries also really tried to do what God wanted them to do. They were surrendered to God's will. And in this case, we saw a different result. Instead of God using them directly, God used them indirectly. God used their sacrifice to him to get hundreds, if not thousands, of missionaries around the world. Now, I mentioned hundreds of missionaries went to Ecuador. They went there because of this story. This story, when it broke, was worldwide. It was not just America. This story was heard across the world. Missionaries surrendered in droves. I know at least 100 missionaries went to Ecuador. Ecuador is about the size of Arizona and had 100 missionaries descend on them. Those airstrips that are out there right now in the jungle, many of them were built by those missionaries. There was a great outpouring of trying to get the gospel to people that had never heard it. Now, unfortunately, there's very little of that left over there. When Pastor Victor Gallo got over there, he did some research, hunted, and tried to find all the like-minded Baptist churches that were preaching the gospel. There were 27. All those missionaries had retired or passed away or changed. All those churches, for the most part, had closed. They were gone. These people surrendered their lives to go and reach other people, but then the people that they reached did not surrender their lives. We see that time and time again. A pastor will be surrendered to the will of God. He tries to lead the people, but often the people don't surrender their lives to God. It's very common. God wants to use you. God wants to use every single one of you, and he can. It's very rare that God will use you the way he used these five men. No one wants to surrender to God and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to serve you. Oops, you're killing me. Oops, that's it. No, we don't like that. We want to have long lives and be able to brag about what God has used us to do. But true surrender is accepting anything. I know many people don't serve God, and God takes their life early. But surrendering to God, you're going to have the absolute best life you could ever have. These five men, if you ask them today in heaven if they had any regrets about what they did, they would say, absolutely not. Their wives all said, yes, we're sad, but we know this is what God wanted to happen so the people could be reached. This was the catalyst to reach those people. But God wants to use all of us, and I can guarantee you he's not going to use everyone the way he used them. Most people he uses are thrilled to be in his service. They just can't imagine doing anything else. I've done other things. While I was trying to finance my aviation dreams, I had to work other jobs. I've worked as an Air Force mechanic. I've worked as a semi-trailer mechanic. I've worked as a computer programmer. I've done pizza delivery. I've done all sorts of different jobs. Now I do odd jobs. Wherever I am, I just fix anything and everything. I do what I can to serve God where I am. But I know that God is working this out so that we can go to Ecuador and serve in this particular manner. I heard a story last year from a visitor we had in Peru. This was a visitor for one of our churches that we were working in. In the 1800s, he said, a missionary went to Korea. He said that this was the first Baptist missionary to go to Korea. This missionary won his great-grandmother to Christ. His grandfather became a pastor. His father became a pastor. He is a pastor. His son wants to become a pastor. All of this happened because one missionary surrendered his life to God. It's amazing. I met him in Peru. He's from Korea. You just never understand what God is going to do. You just can't imagine. Amazing. I believe there are five ingredients you need to surrender your life to God so that he can use you to accomplish his will. The first one is submission. You need to submit your will to God's control. This is not easy to do. It's very, very hard to let go of our will and what we want to do. We all want to do our own thing. We want to be in control of our own lives. Our flesh does not want to do good or to seek after God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. 11 says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's because everyone wants to follow their own will. That's our nature, to do for us, to provide for ourselves. Submitting ourselves to God is the way to get the devil to flee from you. We're all tempted by the devil. We're tempted by our own flesh and by the devil. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submitting our lives to God allows him to lead us. Our own way will always lead us into problems. I can testify for that. I had my hard-headed times, like not learning Spanish for one. When I was in the Air Force, I was not in church. I got myself into some not good situations. It was after that that I got into a Baptist church and finally started growing spiritually. I'd been saved at a vacation Bible school when I was young, but unfortunately, my church that I grew up in did not really teach much. And I didn't start learning until after I was in the Air Force. There are things I regret doing. There are situations I would rather I'd not gotten into. But God used all that to get me to where I am now. But if we submit to God in the first place, we won't have to worry about that. We won't have to worry about the things that we did and regret doing. Those are things that are always in our minds and dragging us down. Satan uses those to remind us of what we are. He said, you're just a sinner. You're worthless. God can't use you. But God says, I'll clean you. I'll use you. There is no one on this earth that God can use because of their own righteousness. Not a one. We're all sinners. We've all done something to keep us from His will. But if we submit our ways to God, He'll direct us. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. He will guide us in the right way to go. He will keep us out of trouble. He promises that. Jesus Himself gave us the best example of submission. Luke 22:42 says, and this is Jesus speaking, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus, the only person who lived perfect life on this earth, submitted His will to God the Father. He showed us how to do it. Besides paying for all our sins, He also was the perfect example. In everything we do, we need to submit to God's authority. Only God knows what is best for us and best for His plan. I know my pastor, Jack Hiles, used to tell a story of sitting on the floor while his mother did cross-stitch. And all he'd see was this jumble of threads on the bottom, and it's just horribly disfigured. You can't see anything. It's just a mass of different color threads hanging all around. And he just couldn't understand what she was doing and why it looked like such a mess. And he asked her, he said, what are you doing? What are you making? Because it looks horrible from here. And she stopped what she was doing, picked him up, put him on her knee, and said, look at this side of it. And it was a beautiful design of some kind. From his side, it looked like a mess. But from her side, it was beautiful. It was perfect. It was her plan. God is the same way. He has a plan. And for us, it can look like a mess. But for Him, when we get to heaven, He'll say, look here now. Look at this. Look what is coming out of all this. And I think it's going to be amazing. The second thing we need is work. First, we need to submit to God. Second thing we need to do is we have to work. You can't accomplish God's will unless you work. We must work for God to show Him that we are surrendered to Him. Jesus was fully surrendered to the will of His Father. The work He had been sent to do always took first place in His life. When He was talking with the woman at the well, Jesus referred to His work as food. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. It was His spiritual food. He put it ahead of His physical food. He'd sent the disciples into town and they were going to go get some food. But He put the spiritual work ahead of the spiritual food. And they couldn't understand that. They were confused by that. Many people come to church and learn about God. They learn about His commandments. They learn how to love others. They learn how to serve others. They learn how to share the gospel. They learn many things. But learning is not all we're supposed to do. We're supposed to put what we have learned into practice. We are supposed to work for God. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You are deceiving yourself if you only listen, if you don't do what you have learned. We have to work. Matthew 6:19-20. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." The Bible says that we are to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. How do you get treasures? You have to work for them. You work and you save your money until you can buy that precious thing that you want. That is a treasure to you. This is a treasure of the world that you cannot take with you when you die. Instead, you must work for eternal treasures, things that will last forever. Souls that are saved because of our work is a treasure that will last forever. Training someone to go and spread the gospel is a treasure that will last forever. Showing love to others is a treasure that will last forever. It takes work to earn treasure. The third thing is love. These missionaries had a love for a people that they did not know. They were willing to give their lives to try to reach them with the wonderful news of God's love. They were fully surrendered to God. If you don't have a love for God, you will never surrender your will to Him. It's impossible. You have to love Him before you can surrender your will to Him. What is the greatest commandment of the Bible? Matthew 22 tells us, verses 36 through 38. Matthew 22, 36 through 38. The Bible says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." I always love it when it comes straight from Jesus' mouth. There's no getting around it. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love God. If we truly love Him with all our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, it will be easy to surrender our will to Him. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." God promises to keep covenant and have mercy with those that love Him. Nothing can cause Him to remove His love for us. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You cannot love God and the world at the same time. One of the two will always win the contest for first place in your life. We're surrounded by the world and consumed with the things of this world. Too often we place our jobs ahead of church in our lives. Luke 16, verse 13 says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. We must place God first in our lives. All of us. It's not just a pastor's job. It's not just the deacon's jobs or the usher's jobs or the song leader's job or the missionary's job. That's a Christian's job. If you are a Christian, you are supposed to love God and keep His commandments. That's all of us. God's love for us is the ultimate love. Nothing can surpass it. He gave his only begotten the Son to die for us so that we could have eternal life with him. I'm sure you all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves everyone. He loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we could have eternal life with him. God loved those Alka Indians. No one would go in and reach them. The oil company people that were out there, they built some of those first runways looking for oil. If they saw them, they'd shoot them and kill them. That kind of started the whole war thing where they started killing outsiders because they didn't trust them. But God loved them. God loved them all. He wanted them to have a chance to trust in Jesus Christ so they could go to heaven. The fourth thing we need is sacrifice. It takes sacrifice to surrender our will to God. We need to put aside the things that we want so that we can serve God. This is a sacrifice. God has a plan for our lives. That plan may not be what we think we want. I can tell you it is most likely not his plan for you to be a Hollywood movie star or a football star or a fashion model. Most likely, his plan for you is to reach or train others to reach more people with the gospel. That's God's main focus here on earth, reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not all these other things that we want to be. Being the best football quarterback in the world is not going to win people to Christ. It takes some sacrifice. Matthew 16:24-25 say, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." When we try to get what we want in our life, it does no good for eternity. We usually want everything right now. We want the usual, fame, fortune, and power. Incidentally, that is also exactly what Satan wanted. He wanted everyone to worship him. He offered all the kingdoms of the world to Jesus if he would just worship him. He wanted to lift his throne above God's throne. He just wanted everything. And that's all we want. We just want everything. When we work to gain these worldly things, we put all of our life into obtaining them. We'll sacrifice anything to get what we want, but in the end, we'll lose it all. We must take up our cross and follow Jesus. We must work to earn heavenly treasures that will last. Jim Elliot is known for a quote found in one of his journals. It's based on Matthew 16:24. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's powerful. And it's actually straight from Matthew 16. Why give away all of eternity for a little fame, fortune, or power here on earth when we have an eternity to look forward to? Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice for us after doing the work of his Father for 33 years. He loved us so much that he looked to the future. He looked at eternity and knew that nothing here was worth eternity. He died so that we could gain eternal life with him. And I am out of time. The last item. Go. Okay. Pastor says I get you for a few more minutes. Last item is communion. That's my fifth item. We must have communion with God to be surrendered to Him. We need to spend time with Him in prayer and meditate on His Word. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Remember Luke 16, verse 13? We cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot be double-minded. If we make the effort to get closer to God, He will get close to us. He wants us to be close to Him. He loves us with no limit. He wants to spend time with us. God has made it extremely easy for us to be able to spend eternity with Him. That's the reason He created man in the first place. He went and visited with Adam every day in the garden. That's what He wants. He wants to have communion with us. He wanted that fellowship. Our life here is short when you compare it with an eternity with God. If we want to have treasures in heaven, we need to work while we are able to earn them. I cannot imagine the treasures that those five missionaries have earned because they surrendered their lives to God. The echoes of their sacrifice are still strong today. Like I said, people learn about them constantly. You've heard quotes from them. You've heard quotes from their wives. I see missionaries going to the field now because of these stories. Some of the things that I see happening right now, I can't even put them into words to show you, but I see God is moving in Ecuador. Pastor Gallo got there 7 years ago, 27 churches that are spreading the gospel. He has started 8 more with more people in training, has another Bible college going with 22 students from the jungle, from these villages. These people speak the jungle languages as well as Spanish. They can go out and reach all these people in the jungles. I just recently found out that there is a group of 4 missionaries heading from a church here in Texas to Ecuador. One of them is already there in the town just north of Pastor Gallo. I'm sure I'll be talking to him soon. There's another one going. He's going to be north of Quito. I don't know about the other two yet. God is moving and putting people in Ecuador. He moved us from Peru to Ecuador. He's putting pieces in play right now to capitalize on the work, the groundwork that was laid by these 5 missionaries. The harvest is ripe in Ecuador. We can go out to these villages and the people are open to the gospel. They readily trust Christ. We went to a village with Pastor Gallo, took a boat out there, about 3 hours on a tiny little wooden stool that's your seat on a little canoe that's about this far above the water. If the water comes in, it'll sink. And we went to this little village. There were 2 huts right there and 1 little communal thing. Other people live out in the jungle a little ways, and they had a church service. We had about 35, 40 people come in for that evening. They got 1 light bulb running off of a little generator, and we had a service with singing and preaching. And it was the plan of salvation. It was presented twice by 2 different preachers. They got saved. Almost everybody there got saved. Then they said, "Can we do this again tomorrow morning?" We stayed there overnight. We camped there. Next morning, we had another service. And we had a whole bunch of people go down to the river and get baptized because the preaching that day was about baptism. They're open. Then the pastor talked to them and said, "How many of you would like to have a church right here in your village?" And they were, "Well, we don't know how to run a church." He said, "Oh, no, we'll come in, we'll build it, we'll bring you a pastor." And they're like, "Really? We would love that." That's amazing. Where can you do that? This is because of the sacrifice made by these 5 missionaries. We need workers in the entire world. But I can see some things going on in Ecuador right now that are just amazing. With aviation, we have 300 airstrips available within 45 minutes of where we are going to be basing. Each of those airstrips serves multiple villages. We could go out every weekday for an entire year and visit a different airstrip every single day. That's amazing. I think God is going to give us a fleet of airplanes and a whole set of pilots over there to reach out and reach this area. There's 750,000 people living in the jungle of Ecuador. We can't reach into Peru, but guess what? These people travel these rivers all the time. There's no borders for the rivers. They go into Peru. They go into They go into Brazil. They go into Colombia. They go into Venezuela. We don't have to worry about the borders if they're going. They speak the languages. They know the culture. It's just amazing what God is doing. I really wish you could all see it. All I can do is show you a little bit that we saw. But it is exciting. It is amazing what I see happening over there. God is opening that country to the gospel. It's hard to put it into words. It's just amazing what God has done just even in my life. He led me to my wife, a wife from Mexico. Me, from California. My wife, from Mexico. We met in Indiana. How does that happen? It's God. He led me to Peru, where I started learning Spanish. I'm learning Spanish rather slowly. I think partly because I'm older, partly because I'm stubborn. I'm not sure what it is, but he gave me a wife that speaks Spanish already. Sometimes that's a help. Sometimes it's a hindrance because I rely on her too much. I finally told her one day, I just need to go out to myself shopping in the markets. She said, you can't go. You don't speak Spanish. She said, I have to or I'm not going to learn. So sometimes it's a hindrance, but if I ever get in a pinch, she's there. It's amazing. God set that up. He's leading me to Ecuador now to start a new ministry, to reach out into the jungles with aviation. There's no one doing that right now. I have the skills to be able to fix the airplanes myself. I have the skills to do printing. We already have a printer being used to create hymnals for those churches in the jungle. Amazing. We're going to be printing tracts. I don't know if we're going to print Bibles yet, but that's a possibility. We may find it's cheaper to buy them. God is leading the way. I don't know exactly what He has planned for my future, but I know that it's better than anything I could have planned on my own. Like I said, I was a computer programmer. I was making pretty good money working in the private sector. I was self-employed. I managed to do that for quite a few years, 9 years. So it means I was reasonably successful. I could have gone to the big companies and probably been making well over $100,000 a year doing that easily. And I loved doing it. But God had something else planned for me. And I love it even more. There's nothing like going somewhere where people are open to the gospel and telling them about Jesus Christ. I've never written a program that can do that. I've written some websites with the gospel. I've done video work with the gospel message, but they just can't do it like a person can. And these people are so open. It's just amazing. You can have that too if you just surrender your life to God. He loves you and has the best in mind for your life. But you'll only realize that if you surrender your life to God. I remember that quote at the beginning. Now I have to find it. It's from Henry Varley. The world has yet to see what Almighty God can and will do with, for, through, in, and by a man wholly and fully yielded to Him and to His service. D.L. Moody tried to be that man. we can try to be that person as well. We can try to be the one that is finally, fully, wholly surrendered to God and to His will.